Well, cast your mind back a year, maybe a year or two, and we used to do this thing called going to the theatre. Most of us have forgotten what it feels like. One of whom is Nicola Upson, who basically lives wherever possible in the theatre, because it just saves on the bills at home. But she has been out to the theatre. Nicola, how are you doing? How are you, Mandy?
Right. You're absolutely right, Neil. I have been bouncing off the doors of the Arts Theatre for the last year because, you know, they were locked, wouldn't let me in.
That's crazy, isn't it? And how's it been for them, and how's it been for all those in the world? It must have been awful.
Talking to them last night, it's been tough. Of course it's been tough. But they have been, this is me looking at them as an outsider and imagining myself back in their position and knowing some of the things that they will have gone through. They have been remarkably resilient and optimistic throughout. I think staging that very simplified form of a panto back in December was a huge morale boost for them and for us as theatregoers. Mm. And I think that was a really good move, even though it was cut short in its prime. So they have been very, very positive. They have been fortunate to have some grants to keep them going in part. But I know what closure does because I joined the Arts Theatre shortly after it had a long period of closure for refurbishment. In fact, it still was closed. It was a building site when I first joined it. So I know how long it can take to get people back in the habit. But I hope and I trust it won't be quite like that this time, because certainly judging from the enthusiasm. And last night, it was so lovely just to walk to the theatre on a summer's evening in Cambridge to actually go in and to see a proper play on stage was just a treat, which almost you can't describe, actually. And I think in a way that's probably good because it's made us appreciate what we've got. And I think just looking at the last two productions that you and I have talked about, which was that panto, and last night's Oleana by David Mamet, a revival of that classic play, which some people say is his masterpiece. It just shows the spectrum of productions that the Arts Theatre's got to offer, and we should treasure that and grab it.
Well, and as you say, everyone's now grateful. The audiences are grateful that the venues are back open. There is a huge pent-up demand and a goodwill to support them because it's been made very clear how much they've been struggling. And you know, it can be that thing. I mean, whatever your job, you can have this sort of, it's another day at the theatre. Another load of performances tonight. Oh, there's a problem with the set. Actually, take it away. Go on then, you go and sit over there for a few months. You're never going to be more keen to get back, guys. Everyone appreciates just what it is they're doing, and there's a love and a warmth, and let's just get on and do it properly.
And a responsibility to the audience as well. Mm. I think we're talking about this play today on the day where Andrew Lloyd Webber has gone public saying he will be arrested because he'll open his theatre because he has such confidence that it's safe. And listening to him being interviewed this morning, I agree with a lot of what he's saying, because last night in that theatre, socially distanced, everybody wearing masks, there's no intervals at the moment. We should tell people that it's about an hour and 20 minutes straight through. And they're very, very careful about the way you go in. You queue down St. Edward's Passage and you are managed out of the building as well. And I certainly felt very, very safe for all the time I was in that theatre. A lot more safe, I think, than I would be in some restaurants and pubs at the moment, which are allowed to open. So I can see Lloyd Webber's point.
And certainly supermarkets, which has always been the point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he was saying this morning how cross he was that the theatres were closed in December, and yet you'd be absolutely nose to nose with people in Oxford Street. So, yeah. And certainly the Arts Theatre they've got that COVID secure rating, and they are taking things very, very seriously.
Fantastic. Okay, so the play then. How did they get on?
There is things on stage too, because it's a brilliantly thought-provoking play. It's about a university professor, John, and one of his students, Carol. And the play opens with her sitting in his office waiting to speak to him. And he is having a barrage of phone calls, which are all to do with his personal life. It's his wife. They're buying a new house because he's about to get tenure at the university. And I'd be honest and say for the first 10 minutes, they both irritated me to death because they don't finish a sentence. They interrupt each other, either whether it's him and his wife on the phone or him and his student. And you're thinking, actually, are we ever going to have a conversation in this play? And of course, very cleverly, that is in part what the play is about, this inability to understand each other and converse, this power struggle, which is personified in those who speaks when and who has the space to talk. So that becomes a theme throughout the play. And once you get past it, it's a slow burner. Once you get past those early 10 minutes or so, you get into this debate, which keeps you going, not just for the scale of the performance, but also, Mandy and I have been talking about it constantly since we came out of the theatre, because the basic premise is that she doesn't understand a lot of the course material. She has a particular problem with her professor's book, and she wants him to explain it. She wants to understand. She doesn't want to fail her course. And he, throughout the course, he starts off by being, you know, not very sympathetic and rather patronizing. But in the end of the first act, he's taking her more seriously. He's conversing with her. He offers that he will grade her up to an A if she comes back and has more discussions with him about that. And of course, you don't think too much about that. But in the second act, when she comes back, a little bit more poised now, a little bit more confident, and she has filed a sexual harassment complaint against him. She's been taking notes on the sexist way that he talks to some of his students. She repeats back to him some of the things that he said in Act One. And of course, by the time you get to that stage, like I said, you don't really think a lot of some of those things. I mean, at one point, he puts his hand on her shoulder. And you don't think it's done in a particularly sexual context. But then when she comes back at him in the second act and you list all those things, they take on a completely different context. And of course, that's what the play does so cleverly. It continually undercuts itself. So you don't really know what to think.
Interesting, though, that the whole thing is just a double header all the way through. Yeah. So that's quite an interesting way to come back, isn't it? I mean, I would have assumed that the theatre would want a chorus line every 5 minutes because so many people are wanting to be on stage. So quite brave to actually put two actors back just front and centre for an entire performance like that.
Really,
especially
brave.
Without an interval as well.
Yeah, but I think their faith in that was paid off because Jonathan Slinger and Rosie Shee, who play John and Carol, they are amazing. You know, there's not a slip throughout it. It's this back and forth. The pauses are right. The delivery is right. The tension in the script, everything is there. So they are absolutely fantastic from start to finish. And in a way, I think it was a clever thing to bring back because it feels like a safe production on stage as well. I mean,
yes,
it does get quite physical. And it's a shame that you and I can't talk about the thing that it was billed as a controversial and shocking play. I hadn't seen the play until I went last night. And there is a moment when it turns and it does become shocking and controversial. And it leaves you cold, really. And it's a shame because you and I can't talk about that because it is a genuine surprise as well. And I think it would spoil it for people. But that two-hander element to it, I think, actually feels like a really savvy choice for a first production back as well.
Excellent. So in terms of the sort of age guidance, they're saying 12 plus, and that would be suitable, would it, you reckon?
Yes, I think it would, because there are some adult themes, as they say. But there are some things that, and of course, this play came out first in the 90s, which was at the same time very similar to now in that it was a time when people were thinking a lot about sexual harassment, but in a very different place. So it is interesting now, I think, to revisit those themes and those discussions from, I don't like to say the post-Me Too movement because we're still very, very much in it.
Sure.
But when that has, you know, hit us and while we're still thinking about it. So I think, 12 up, it's a very good age, I think, to start thinking about those issues and those discussions and having those conversations. And he said when he wrote the play that his wife originally created the female part in Carol, and David Mamet was quite concerned for her safety because of how strong people felt once they'd been to see it and how divisive it was. And it does divide couples, not necessarily along lines of gender or age or anything, but people do come out feeling something for one character strongly or another. And I got that very strongly just coming out of the theatre last night.
Wow. Wow, that is a play doing its job then, isn't it?
It is, but it divides you against yourself, because one minute you think one thing and the other minute you're very sure of the other point of view. So that's why it was clever for me, I think.
And that's the trouble. Life is never so black and white, is it? And that's what it's pointing out to you. Very good.
Absolutely right.
So it's on until Saturday evening, 7:30 evening performances, 2:30 matinees on Thursday and Saturday.
And worth stressing that 7:30, because of course the performances used to be 7:45, but they've moved those earlier now. And give yourself a bit of time to get there, because you do have to queue now. You can't just mob in. You have to sanitize and have those checks and all that sort of thing. So I would advise people to
make sure you've been to the loo, because it's an hour and 20 straight through without an interval.
It is, and you won't want to miss anything. You won't want to go out and pop back, because the play will have changed completely by the time you come back.
Indeed. Tickets are priced £20 to £35, including a £3 per ticket booking fee, through CambridgeArtsTheatre.com. CambridgeArtsTheatre.com. What's next then? When fingers crossed, what are you off to see next?
Well, next week is The Woman in Black. We're not going to see that. It's a play we've seen many times.
Yes, I was going to say.
But it's one not to be missed. But we are keeping our fingers crossed for Ralph Fiennes starring in T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets. So watch this space.
Fantastic. Nicola, always lovely to catch up with you. Love to Mandy as well. And thanks very much indeed for doing a theatre review. Who'd have thought?
I know. That's three cheers for that. Thank you, Neil. Lovely to be back with you.